Submit means to subordinate, to obey, be under obedience, put under, subdue, subject to, subjection, submit self unto. We are commanded to willingly obey, come under, and yield to those who govern us. There's no question there. There's no if you want to. There's no multiple choice. There's not A, B, and C. If you don't feel like it, if the person is not exactly who you thought it was, it's not who you voted for, he says things that you don't like. It doesn't say that. There's no addendums. It doesn't say turn to the back and look at the index. It says to submit to godly authority, or submit to all authority as unto the Lord. We are quick to rebel because someone levies an unfair tax, or demands a certain speed limit, or asks us to accept a new law like Obama health care. Law of the land. We are too quick to give the example of not obeying the abortion laws or prayer in schools because we want to make a big fuss about it. We picket, we yell, we scream, we accuse people of things that we would never, if we thought about it, accuse. We accuse people and crucify their name without even knowing what motivates them or where they're coming from. Come on, someone. Pastor Rick, we have to be strong about it. We've got to call it down. Listen, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness. If there's ever been spiritual wickedness and rulers in the heavenly places, it's been over this issue of abortion. It's a spiritual thing. The enemy striking right at the safest place in the whole entire universe, the womb. Successfully. Verse 15 says, Romans chapter 13 says this, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Our obedience to civil rules shuts the mouth of the aggressors that want us to act up so that they have an excuse not to obey the unchanging laws of God." People are looking for us to rebel so that they can rebel against the... If we cannot obey the simple laws of the land that are subject to change, how can we witness to people and expect them to accept a changeless gospel? If the Bible says don't speak wrong against authorities, they've been put there by them, by him, then we cannot speak against authority. No question. Just because man gives us a right doesn't give us license to do so. I pray all the time, God, put a guard on my mouth, because I've got opinions, man. Just ask me, I'll tell you. If I were the president, I would. Thank God I'm not. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Wait a minute. I'm the good guy here. God, that's not fair. You can't do that. I pay my tithe. I go to church. I don't swear. I don't curse or chew or go with girls that do. I'm a good guy. God, don't, you mean to tell me? No. God says if we resist the authority, we bring judgment on ourselves. No matter what our personal preferences are, we are told to obey because of God's appointment. When we resist, we set ourselves at odds with the will of God. I happen to believe the ones that are in charge in Washington are there because we reap what we've sown. This nation got what it asked for. Oh man, we could talk about the myriads of sins that got us where we're at. We've turned our back on God. This nation has turned our back on prayer and turned our back on godly authority and turned our back. But the fact is, we got God appointed because we got what we asked for. Come on, someone. Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching better than I'm saying amen. This whole thing that we've been leading up to and studying Romans together, we've been challenged. We've been challenged to see things the way they are, taking off the rose-colored glasses and looking at ourselves very clearly and very succinctly, because if revival's going to come, it's got to start with us doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. Because God commanded it so. We can't talk about revival and then go on and do what we want to do. We can't talk about God changing and have an atmospheric change if we're not willing to be the progenitors of that change, to change ourselves, whatever we need to adjust in our lives. If we need to turn off the news because it makes us mad and get in the flesh, then turn it off. If we need to stop having discussions around the water fountain or around the coffee machine or whatever at work when people are talking and stirring up strife, can you believe what that guy in Washington did again? And we start to talk and everybody has an opinion, and if I was president, we need to stop all that stuff. Even in the local government, or if I was Mayor Smiley, I would do this or I would do that. No, pray for the man. Pray for his family. Pray for the city council. Pray for this area. Pray that godly men and women would, if they're not godly, that they would be godly. That we pray for their salvation, that their souls would change, that their heart would change. But until then, they're the ones in charge. Can you imagine if no one was in charge? Jesus said it like this in Matthew 24, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Talking about the end times, because lawlessness will abound. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on the side of lawlessness. I don't want to be on the side of saying I'm disobeying laws that are there. Now, we are too quick to run to what I'm about to say, because then we get license and it flows over into other things. I understand that there are certain laws that we disobey because they go against the Word of God. I'm not going to counsel anybody to have an abortion. It's murder. If I have an opinion or I can talk to anybody, I need to tell them, don't do that. That's against the law of God. My personal conviction has to be under the Lord. And if somebody tells me that I can't preach the Word, you better look for me. Come and visit me at visitation in jail, because I'm going to continue to preach the Word. Come on, somebody. There are certain things that we've got to do. Coming up, very quickly, we may have to disobey things just to gather together. We may have to disobey things that the government says that we can't call a certain group sinners because they have rights. But how many know sin is sin? So come look for me in the county pokey. I mean, if I'm going to resist and I'm going to come against those kind of laws that come against the Word of God. But until then, I've got to obey the things. I don't want to be lawless like that. Verse 3. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. We need to get a voice back in our government. The church needs to get a sensible voice back in the government. If you're living a godly life and you get to speak to our governing authorities, or we still have ways of getting Christians into various offices. We need to pray them in there. Amen? Come on. We need to pray we have godly men and women that are serving us in leadership. But we need to talk like we have a civil tongue in our head, that they'll listen to what we have to say. The fear of man leaves when we walk in godly authority. Our disobedience to things brings fear that compounds the problem. We get a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we're against government, we're against the people in government, we talk wrong against them, and they're vehement against us, we're kind of fulfilling what we knew to be, that they're our enemy. They're not our enemy. The enemy is our enemy. Old Slewfoot is working overtime to divide us, and he's done such a good job. He's done such a good job even in the church. We can't keep a civil tongue in our head from church to church. Last week we talked about loving one another, and we're fixing to do that again. The title of the message this morning is Submit, Serve, and Suit Up. Being a disciple of God is not for the weak and the faint in heart. Being a disciple of God takes every ounce of strength we have with our whole body, soul, and spirit to serve God. It takes guts to be a disciple of Christ. It takes guts to go against the flow. Someone said here the other day, dead fish go with the flow. We need to fish against, we need to swim against the current and set the example once again. And God will bless us. Listen, if we decide to do the right thing, being a disciple is tough. Activists are only heroes in movies and imaginations. God's not looking for activism. He's looking for obedience. To obey, my Bible says, is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Soon enough, we'll be locked up for our faith. Coming a time, it may not happen in our generation, but it may happen in our children or grandchildren. We need to toughen this generation coming up. Soon enough, our brothers and sisters all over the world are suffering for the faith, even as we speak this morning. There are brothers and sisters that are locked up, being tortured for their faith. Yes, they're coming a time. Don't get excited about being rebellious and being an activist. Soon enough, we may face that. Protests taken to God have a way of being remedied. Take our case up with the Father. Father, please change things. Father, please change our government. Father, please change President Barack Obama. Father, please change Joe Biden. Father, please visit the 9 Supreme Court justices. Let them see that when they say, when they bring down laws that go against your word, they're bringing judgment on themselves. Lord, please have mercy on their souls. Cry out to God. It'll have a way of being remedied, but protests taken to a man have a way of being compounded. We protest against a certain thing and it's compounded. All of a sudden, somebody's saying something we never intended it to be because we're seen as being a threat. One of the biggest threats to government today is talked about conservative Christians. When they took a poll in the Democratic Party, they said, "What's conservative Christians are a threat to our government." Where does that leave us when we go to speak to some government authority that's read that, whether it's true or not? Many have lost their voice in our country because of the constant berating and criticism leveled at our God-appointed leaders. The Word of God says to serve. Put everyone else ahead of your own demands and see how much you will receive answers, walk in wisdom, prosperity, and peace, and show forth God's grace. Leave it up to the Lord. The Lord is ultimately in charge. How many know He's not getting senile and does not need our help running the universe? We don't give Him sick days or vacation days. God's always on. He knows exactly what's going to happen. Governments are designed to fall apart. It may be that we're in the death of the government that we're in. It may be that we're witnessing the death of this government the way it is. I don't know. I don't want it to be. I want the same as you want. I love our country. I want it to be free. I want us to be world leaders. But it may not be that way. In God's plan, overall plan, it may be that things will change very drastically in the coming years. That's not up to me. It's up to me to obey God. It's up to me to obey what He says. What His edicts and His commands are, I have to obey. I have to obey. I have to obey. If I don't, I bring judgment on myself. Forget everything else. Forget all of that stuff. Forget that the nation continues to do abortion. Forget that homosexuality is now at this. Forget all of those things. When I stand before God on that day and He says, "What did you do for me?" Here's what I'm going to have to say. Lord, I rebelled, I rebelled, I rebelled, I rebelled, I didn't listen, I didn't obey your word, I took liberty because after all, God, I lived and was died in the United States of America where freedom is free. God will say that doesn't make any difference. Did you obey my word? You brought judgment on yourself. Everything you did is now wood, hand, stubble. Selah. Let's look at verse 8. Everybody smile at me. Come on, we're getting to the good stuff now. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. One version says, owe no one anything except to love those in your church. It's not read very often, but. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, and all are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Ooh. Man. Anybody feel the constraint in that? Is it just me, but does anybody feel like now the boundaries are coming even clearer? God, you said that I'm free. The scripture says, don't use your liberty as a cloak for vice. You mean to tell me that I've got to love my neighbor? I got to love everybody? Come on, there are certain people, God, that you don't even love. No, my Bible says that I'm supposed to love my neighbor. The whole law is fulfilled in love. No, wait a minute. I thought the whole law was fulfilled in doing the right thing. I mean, even if people get hurt, we've got to do the right thing. Even if stupid sinners don't know better, we need to tell them they're stupid and they're sinners. You don't know any better. You're going straight to hell in a handbasket. You ought to join me. I'm going to heaven. And look at my attitude. You want to have my attitude? Come be with me. Come on, somebody. Motivated by love. Motivated by the love of God. Now, we've defined love in the past few months. You've defined love since you've been a Christian. So, sometimes saying, but if you say something in love, the truth of God in love, you'll change a heart. But if you change it you say it with vindictiveness and anger, you're not going to change anything. I love you. What you're doing is wrong, but I love you. You may be blunt. Can I spend some time and be motivated? Serve one another. Love your neighbor. And let them see the love of God in you. That's what drew you. That's what drew me. I was drawn by the love of God, not by His vindictiveness and whip. When I came to God, He didn't have a whip and a chair saying, you better get your act together, boy. I was drawn by the love of the Holy Spirit through people that took time enough to tell me the truth. Somehow, some way in this nation, we've kind of lost it. I'm not talking about the sloppy agape that has been, unfortunately, a lot of the church has taken sides with the things of the world and gone against the Word of God. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about believers that believe in the whole Word of God. You will say the law has been fulfilled and you would be right. It has been fulfilled. Jesus said it is finished. But for us to walk in that fulfillment is quite another thing. It's been fulfilled. Now we ought to act like it's been fulfilled. The reason why we held off taking communion this morning is we're taking communion asking God to renew a covenant of love with each other and those who are on the outside. I'm not talking about even those that we see. There are people, you've been here a lot longer than me. There are people that are no longer here that are not here because of some vindictiveness or anger or wrong words said and they left and we don't know where they're. We need to pray forgiveness and we need to pray that people would be healed. You're here this morning. You've been hurt by the church. You've been hurt. We need to stop inflicting hurt on one another and embrace one another and love. Not because it's a good thing to do, but because we are commanded to do so. It's not loving because God loves through me. I love you because God loves you through me. That's a bunch of hogwash. God doesn't need me to love you. God loves you whether I love you or not. The deal is, do I love you? Come on, somebody. Well, I have to love you because God... No, I don't have to love you. You have freedom of choice, but you do not have freedom of consequences. You could say all day with your mouth you love somebody, but if you don't love them in your heart, you've come against God. You're standing on the opposite side of God. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be on a team against the Lord. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 this morning. Everybody okay? Smile at me. Come on. You all right? You're not going to like hurt me afterwards or anything, right? I'm allergic to pain. I'll just let you know that. Glory to God. I mean, I'm like you. I get so angry with some situations, I want to knock some sense into people. Come on. You just flat out just want to knock some sense. God, just let me just do it. Just look the other way for 10 minutes and let me straighten this person or these people out. Come on. But we can't do it. We're absolutely demanded, commanded to love people. That's a hard thing. It's hard. I don't like it. Sometimes I have every right, God, to not like this person. God's not going to argue with you. Yes, you do have every right, but you've got to love them. I died for those people. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." Woo! Thank you, Jesus. I love you with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. I'm a good Christian. Look at me. I love the Lord God. Don't tell me I don't love God. I got pictures of him on my wall, got the commandments in my living room. Look at this King James Bible. Don't tell me I don't love God. If that's the proof, I'm gold star. The crown is awaiting Rick. I love you, God, with all my heart, with all my soul. I don't have any bad thoughts. I don't have any. All the CDs in my radio in the car are Christian. I know the top 10 Christian songs in America. And I memorized Psalm 23. Don't tell me I don't love God. Uh-oh, then I got to read on. Verse 39 of Matthew 22. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's like the first one. I can deal with the first one. God, there's nothing wrong with you. You're perfect in every way. I can love you because I know you have got my best interest in mind. I love you with all my heart. So, didn't you just hear me? I've got all this. I'm the man you're looking for. God says, you know, the neighbor that you just cussed out because they don't mow their lawn or they don't do this or they said something wrong or they voted wrong or they put fireworks off the wrong, 100 different things. You know, the neighbor that came to church and they didn't say the right thing or do the right thing. I'll dare them sin like that. I mean, you're to love them as you love yourself. And it's on par with loving me. It's on the same level. It's not down here. It's not loving God up here and loving everybody else kind of second. It says the second is like it. It means it's a twin. It means it's the same thing as loving God. If I don't love you, I don't love God. Amen. Well, God, that's unfair, man. You don't know some of the people I got to live with. Nobody likes this person. God, if I start loving this person, I'll be unpopular. If I start saying good things and serve this person, nobody's going to like me. I'll be accused of being a sinner like the rest. Jesus says, join the crowd. When I was here, they accused me of being a whoremonger. I was friends of prostitutes. They said I was no good. Join the club, man. Get with it. Suit up. This is the call of the day. This is what you're supposed to do. This is, you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Love defined is love displayed. It doesn't matter what we say. It matters what we do. First Corinthians 13. In weddings, this passage of scripture is always used. It's kind of, you know, it's put on the cake and people carry it, it's on the thing, and the pastor says it, you know, you stand there and they're looking at each other and crying, and you know, and you're going, love suffers long and is kind, and they're like, of course, you know, after the honeymoon's over, the words mean a lot more than they did standing at the altar. Come on, somebody. It's okay to laugh. It's all right. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, too much of this is relegated to a bride and groom on their wedding day. It's a challenge to every one of us. Here is where we get it right. You say, what is love anyway? It's defined for us. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. There it is. Man, if we say we love one another, we've got to love one another. I've got to look over, I've got to believe the best in you. If you're having a bad day, I need to cover over you. I need to protect you instead of criticizing. If you're having a bad wet, if things are happening bad in your life, you're having a bad month, you're having a bad 6 months, I've got to stand with you. You're my brother. You're my sister. You're my neighbor. I'm going to believe the best. I'm going to bear with the best. I'm going to endure with the best. I'm going to do all I can, even to my own hurt. Why? Pastor Rick, why? Why do we have to do? Because the Word of God says we have to. It's not open to question. It's not open to whether we want to or not. It's not open. You're free. I mean, nobody's gonna know. You say, well, you know, I'll do what I want to do. I'll love. And there are limits to my love. Bible says we're going to have no limits. Now, I know that because it says to love one another as we love ourselves. I think pretty highly of myself. I like me. I don't do things to hurt me. Come on, somebody. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking about you today. We like ourselves. We're self-preservationists. We like to take care of ourselves, but I'm told to love you as I love myself. And I know I'm being facetious. I know this is a heavy, heavy message, but it's a free message. Want to see revival? I said it last week, when people come in here to visit, they sense the shepherding of the church, not just somebody that has an REV in front of their name. They're shepherded, they're honored, Somebody tells you something at the altar, you're absolutely bound by love not to repeat it. Somebody shares their struggle with you, you're absolutely bound by the word to love them, protect them, strengthen them, tell them the truth, tell them that they've got to give up not doing the thing that they're doing or going down that path, but love them, strengthen them, hold them, pray for them. When people come in this building, a new life, and when we're out in the community and people know that we're part of new life, we're representing Jesus Christ. We're loving them just as Christ loves us. If we're having a bad day, go home and shut the door and get on your knees. Watch a funny movie. Whatever you got to do to get your heart right, don't go spewing all over the place if you're having a bad day. Quiet. I'm not telling you to, my wife knows. She knows when I'm not hitting on all cylinders, it'd be a good thing if you just stayed at home. Come on. We're absolutely this. We've got to, if we obey, if we line up to what the Word of God says, revival will naturally come. Communities will naturally change. It's not a stretch. It's not rocket science. We say, well, why hasn't this happened? We've prayed and prayed and prayed. We've had meetings until we don't even eat supper at home. I mean, we've had meetings 30, 40 days in a row every night crying out to God, God, bring revival, change, change, change. And God says, I can't. You brought judgment on yourself because you're talking about this and you're doing against that. And it's not that I don't want to, but I can't go against my word. Verse 11, and do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. Verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. The Holy Spirit's getting to a place where He says, don't do that. Don't put this, don't put it on yourselves. It's far too late. The night is already spent. Put on the armor of light. James chapter 1 says it like this, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. If you leave here today and it's not touched your heart and you're not changing, I'm just saying you're free to do what you want, but you are not free of the consequences of what you don't do. The Bible says, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. I am blessed. I am blessed. Every day of my life I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head to rest, I am blessed. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the blessings of the Lord. I don't want to fuss with any curses. I don't want to fuss with not having the fullness of God. I want all that God wants. This, that my Bible says that if I'll do it, if I'll be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, Selah, not just listening to it, but actually incorporated in my life. And to some, it's going to be tough. We're taking communion this morning. We're repenting. God is going to put things in the sea of forgetfulness. But when we say we love one another, it's going to start right here at New Life. We're going to love and honor one another and respect one another no matter what we think. God, change our thoughts. Our thoughts will change if our heart changes. Amen. And then as we grow and we set the example here amongst those that we know, it will spill over into those that we don't know intimately like we know each other. People will start to say, you know what, those people, and I'm praying for every church, but people start saying, you know, I know where that person comes from. They're from that New Life church, man. They love each other. Amen. They love each other. I don't know what it is, but did you hear what they did to that person that, you know, did this and that? Did you know that that person did this or that? They're over at the church and they just embrace them. They call them brother and sister and they love them. What's going on over there? I don't know. Let's go see. We are asked to put on two things that we might fulfill the aim of God's word. Number one, we're asked to put on the armor of light. By the way, that light in the original language is phos, which means uncreated light, meaning put on God and his attributes. That which carries the attributes of God can be put on. Ooh, glory to God. What are you dressed in? I'm dressed in the light. And then it says to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, who is, by the way, the light of the world, uncreated and eternal. Make no provision for the lust of the flesh. Let your appetite be for the things of the kingdom and not for the things of the world. We live in a free country, man. We can say what we want. We can do what we want. And if we don't find people to agree with us, we can get rid of them and find someone who will. 340 million people, somebody will agree with us and we'll have friends somewhere. Now we don't even need friends in the neighborhood, we just need Facebook friends. I got some friends on Facebook. They don't live 1,500 miles away from me, but we're best friends. We talk every day on Facebook. Oh, you'll find people to agree with you. You know what the hard thing is? The hard thing is to love people that we see every day and we walk among. You have your opinions, I have mine. We're never going to agree on everything. Come on, somebody. Amen. Nobody's asking for talking heads. Nobody's asking for everybody to think just like you. If they did, we would really be in trouble. We can't agree on everything, but we can agree to do one thing, and that's to love. Submit to authority, submit to one another, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to authority, submit to one another, and we hadn't even talked about godly authority in our lives. Can I get personal? Just for a second, I'm going to anyway. So. I may be a pastor of this church, but I'm not your pastor unless you allow me to be. Everybody needs a pastor. I have pastored my life. In leadership, you need somebody to shepherd you and love you and tell you when things aren't okay. Applaud you when things are okay. But that spirit, that shepherding spirit can happen throughout New Life Church. That's been my prayer. I was running the other day saying, God, make this a shepherding church. Make this a church where we love one another and care for one another. Lay down our lives for one another. And it can happen right here this morning. Doesn't need to be a big emotional thing. It just needs to be saying, you know what? I make a commitment to love my brothers and sisters. And that love to spill out to my neighbors. I'm not going to say anything against authority anymore. I'm going to love that personification of love here will multiply itself throughout everywhere I go, where I touch. Amen? If we could, whoever is going to play, come up, please. Whoever is going to come up and lead a little worship. I'm going to have the ushers come. We're going to wait on each other. We're going to pass out the elements. Do not take the elements until everybody has been served. We're going to pray together, and then we're just going to spend a little bit of time in worship, not long, or it may be, it's the Holy Spirit's, but take time to walk around, be with one another. If there's something that you need to get right with somebody, go get right with somebody. If you just want to tell somebody how good they look and how much you love them and pray for them, that's body ministry. We just need to commit to that kind of spirit. And we release, how many know when we release that kind of spirit, it will multiply in new life? God, we want to be those that are shepherding each other and loving one another and obeying your word. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, it's been such a challenge. I don't believe I've ever heard this group so quiet. But God, we really want to stand up and be counted for those in the end time army that you're calling to rightfully divide your word of truth, loving one another, respecting and loving the authority that's over us, loving our neighbor. Lord, deal with every heart as we worship this morning, as we wait on each other for communion. Deal with our hearts. If there's anything in my heart, God, that I need to repent of, Father, search my heart. Know me. Everything about me, Lord. I just want to be open to you. Father, move on my brothers and sisters as we ready ourselves for this commitment that we'll make this morning in remembering the covenant that you made with us. In Jesus' name.